Hi, this is Mark Mohammadpour, and welcome to Chasing the Sun, the show designed to help you, the communicator, marketer, or public relations professional, incorporate health and wellness into your life, reduce stress, and grow in your career. I lost more than 100 pounds more than 10 years ago, and I'm proud to have kept that off ever since. And after spending my public relations career helping companies meet their objectives, I'm ready to help you, the professional, meet your objectives. Visit Chasing the Sun at chasingthesunpdx.com, email me at mark@chasingthesunpdx.com, or reach out to me on Instagram or Twitter at markmo, M-A-R-K-M-O-H. Let's get started and chase the sun. Hi, it's Mark Mohammadpour, and thanks for tuning into this week's episode. I'm really excited about my two guests on this week's show. We're going to have Tatiana Skomsky and Colby Reed, who are just incredible people and public relations professionals, and to me, they're heroes to me. They both have been very public about conditions that they live with. Tatiana has ulcerative colitis, and Colby has Crohn's disease, and they both have been very public about living their life with it and taking it in stride and pursuing their ambitions while living with their conditions. And so we had a really good chat recently about their conditions, what life is like, and advice that they have for other communicators, marketers, or public relations professionals who not only live through that, but from a management standpoint and when you're working with people who live through that, what are some things to think about? It was a wide-ranging conversation. I got so much out of it. They're heroes to me. I think you'll really enjoy it. And let's turn it over to them. Thanks so much. Hi, we have Tatiana Skomsky and Colby Reed here with us today. How's it going, everybody?
Good.
It's outstanding today. Mark, how are you?
I'm doing really well. This is a new path of Chasing the Sun, and you are the first official guests on this show as we're evolving this format. And it's really important to bring in different perspectives from the communications, marketing, and public relations field to talk about how they live their life. Mm-hmm. And you two immediately came to mind as wonderful friends and people who live their life and have unique ways in which you do so. And I want to chat with both of you about that for a few minutes. So
thank you for having us.
My pleasure. Tatiana, let's start with you. Tell us a little bit about your public relations experience so far.
Yeah. So I'm about 3 years out of college. So I went to the University of Oregon, go Ducks, studied PR there, and right out of school, got an internship at an agency in Portland. It was a smaller agency where I was really able to get a ton of experience really quickly. I was there for almost 2 years and then went to a larger agency before I went in-house, which was my last role. And now I'm kind of taking a pause and really evaluating what my next step in this world is.
That's wonderful. We all go through pauses at some point in time, and we're going to get to where this pause is taking you in a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk to Colby. Colby, tell us a little bit about your experience to date.
I have one of those traditional, non-traditional routes to public relations in that I also am a duck, also study journalism.
No ducks.
But I was a radio reporter and anchor for about 7 years and then transitioned. I was consulting with nonprofits on the side at the time, helping them understand how to pitch the media. And that just kind of evolved into a full-time public relations role on the agency side. And did that for about 7 years, I think, 6.5, 7 years. And recently moved, not recently, it's been 2 years, my goodness. time flies. But I moved in-house to a nonprofit foundation here in the Pacific Northwest, where I have been ever since.
That is wonderful. Mm-hmm. It's amazing. What I love about our profession is how we all get to where we're at. Mm-hmm. With some people, I went to school halfway through my freshman year, I knew I wanted to be in public relations. I originally wanted to be a journalist, but then I became public relations, and that's my path. Was that your path as well?
That was Tatiana? Exactly my path. Yeah. I went into college knowing that I wanted to do PR. In high school, I thought I wanted to be a journalist, and then I ended up doing a PR internship in high school.
Oh, wow.
And I fell in love with it, and so I went into school knowing I wanted to do PR when everyone else was like, I don't know what PR is
right
yet. But yeah, I knew right away. And then right out of college.
Right, right.
Jumped in.
And Colby, you wanted to be a journalist going into U of O?
Actually, no. Going into the University of Oregon, I was trying to decide whether I was going to go off and be an attorney or go on to Broadway.
Mm. Oh, my gosh.
And then decided to go into journalism. First, I went into just radio broadcasting in general, and then got more into the news side of things as I got closer to graduation. But it was a more gradual evolution for me.
Was what you learned in school, how much did that apply to your professional career in KCU Colby as you learned? And then how much was it learning on the job? What were some of the things that you were able to apply right away? And then what were some of the things that were a challenge, perhaps?
Well, I think for me, I was fortunate in that I had a lot of internships at the same time that I was going to school, so I was getting the real hands-on experience. And the University of Oregon journalism program was heavily focused on one-man band video work as opposed to radio. So a lot of the stuff that I learned that I actually applied in my career was stuff that I got, you know, kind of on the job and on internships. But learning the fundamentals of journalism and research, things that I still apply today. Like, you got out of info hell, I think. Do they have info hell?
No, they call it something different.
They call it, okay.
Yeah, I had to do it.
So for those of you that aren't familiar, there's a class at the University of Oregon called Journalism 102 that was this horrible research program that we wound up with like this 100-page research paper at the end of the year.
You still love University of Oregon.
Oh, I still love the University of Oregon because it taught me how to research and vet sources, which I still use today, but it was affectionately referred to as InfoHealth.
I understand. I'm sure there will be some hearty guffaws from professors and students alike. Mm-hmm. So what about you, Tatiana? What do you think?
I agree. I mean, I think that the PR program at the U of O really set me up with a great foundation, especially in writing and AP style. But I would agree that, you know, I was also doing internships while I was in school, and I would say I learned while doing. So it really, and once I got into quote unquote the real world and, you know, was working in PR 40 hours a week, that's really when I learned everything that I know today.
Yeah. So let's talk about the real world. So you've come out of school, you're progressing into professional life, you're excited, you're advancing, you're moving, but then life hits you fast, right? It all hits us in one way, shape, or form. And I want to talk to you both about that and what you live with. And I think our audience will appreciate your perspectives on what you live with and some advice you have for others. So, Tatiana, I'd love to hear what your condition is and Colby, you as well.
Yeah, so I have ulcerative colitis. It's a form of inflammatory bowel disease. And I was actually diagnosed my senior year of college. So I won't go into all the details, but essentially, I mean, I was sick my whole life. I always felt sick, and no one could really ever tell me what was wrong. And it was really hard growing up, and especially in college when, you know, I just wanted to go out with my friends and I just wanted to be a normal, you know, 20-year-old girl, but I felt sick all the time. So my senior year, I actually had reconstructive jaw surgery. It was something that was planned that I had to have done. And that was a 5.5-hour surgery, which in result put my body through a lot of stress. And so what came from that was my first flare. And that's when they were able to diagnose me with ulcerative colitis. It's unfortunate that a lot of the times with these diseases, it has to get really bad before they can actually identify what it is. So I ended up having to take a term off of school to stay home. I really didn't want to. I was really upset about it. But I, you know, recovered and was able to go back to school and still graduate on time. I'm on a medication called Remicade, which is an infusion that I get every 8 weeks. And they put me on that pretty much right away because it was really bad. It was either that or surgery to remove my colon.
Wow.
The doctor said, this is one of the worst cases that I've ever seen. Like, I don't know if you will leave this hospital without having surgery, was a lot to take in. I mean, I just been told I was diagnosed with something that I didn't know what it was. I was told it wasn't curable. I've been being told that, you know, I might have to have surgery. I just want to go back to college and finish school. So, you know, thankfully the medication worked and I'm still on it today. And I'm in remission, which is awesome.
Congratulations.
Thank you. But, you know, I don't know if anything ever really prepares you for living with a disease that doesn't have a cure and that you can't see. Yeah. You know, looking at me, no one would ever think that I had any sort of disease, but I do, and it's really hard. But I'm also in a really good place now. Good. So, yeah.
Good. Well, thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. I know it can't be easy. Cool. Yeah. Cool. But you have a somewhat similar but also very different condition. Can you talk to us about that?
Sure, sure. So I have ulcerative colitis. I don't know if you'd call it its cousin, its sister.
Yeah.
I have Crohn's disease, which is another form of irritable bowel disease. And it is, irritable bowel disease is an autoimmune disorder. So your colon, your intestines become inflamed and basically the body starts attacking itself, which presents all forms of delightful and delicious side effects. Mm-hmm. And I was actually not diagnosed until I was in my 30s, which is rare. Most people, like Tatiana, are diagnosed, you know, in their late teens or early 20s. Upon review, we see signs of it, and a couple of probably misdiagnosed flares. Earlier in my life, but I, interestingly enough, was in a situation where I was working at an agency and was under a very high stress stretch. And my body responded poorly and was very sick. And I thought, okay, this is it's just a really stressful time. As soon as I get past this thing that's coming up, this big deadline, everything's going to settle down. And then there was something else that came up kind of after that. And then it became months and months. And I was in a flare for about 10 months.
Wow.
And it was painful every day. It was, We're not gonna spare all the gory details, but there were, you know, there were some moments that were almost really embarrassing on work assignments actually, and had just no energy. Would literally come home from work and just immediately fall on the floor and could not force myself to get up. Started losing my hair, lost a lot of weight. It was a very challenging time, and I was very fortunate to find a doctor who finally did the right tests and said, this is what's going on. And I was fortunate to be in a position where I did a medical intervention, did some medication that got me out of the flare. And then with diet and lifestyle, I've actually been able to stay in remission since then. But it's something I have to monitor. It's something I have to monitor every day. And that's something that, you know, it may not be my permanent. This is something that is constantly evolving. And it's something that, you know, a month from now, I may be in a completely different position with it. And I just have to be prepared for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you, Colby, for sharing. You mentioned stress. Mm-hmm. We know that public relations industry is one of the most stressful professions out there. It's part of the impetus why Chasing the Sun exists, to be aware and remind ourselves that, yes, we're living in a stressful industry, but we have to take care of ourselves. It's our industry is not going to get any easier anytime soon. And we have to ensure that we're prioritizing health and wellness. And so what I want to ask you both is somewhat different circumstances. Colby, you were deep in your professional career. Tatiana, you were in your college career, but I know that you were also interning and doing stuff. So I think it's fair to say you were thinking and acting like a professional. What was it like going through that process, coming back to school, and then getting ready to be a pro professional? And then for Colby, agency life, if you could go back, would you have raised your hand sooner? What would you have done differently, if anything?
Yeah, I mean, it was really hard. I mean, I'm not going to lie. It was, I think for me, I can still remember, like, sitting in the hospital bed when I was told, you know, this was what was going on. And I felt like my whole world was being, like, ripped away from me. obviously that's not the case, and I'm, you know, I'm okay now. But like Colby said, it is something that, you know, I constantly live with, and I constantly, tomorrow could be completely different.
Sure.
So, you know, thinking about going back to school and then in turn graduating and going into a job professionally felt like, you know, impossible at the time. And I remember when I went back to school, I had so much anxiety because I had just spent the last, you know, 2 or 3 months, I spent a quarter at home, you know, with my parents right there, with the doctors that I was used to there. And now I have to go, for context, I was in San Diego when I was at home. So going from San Diego to Eugene, you know, I had to find all new doctors. I had to find somewhere where I could get my infusions. How am I going to explain this to all my friends and to my teachers? And, you know, thankfully I had, a lot of support around me. And I think as I started to get more comfortable sharing, you know, what I had with people and opening up, I saw that people, you know, welcomed me with open arms and just wanted to support me. So it, allowed me to, you know, continue to open up and feel comfortable sharing, you know, this is a part of my life and this is a part of who I am. And, you know, I didn't choose for this to happen to me, but I need, you know, certain things to be accommodated for me so that I can still live my life.
Yeah.
But it was hard.
Yeah.
It was really hard.
Do you remember specific resources, websites, books that helped you along the way?
Yeah, I definitely, the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation is a really great resource. They have a lot of specifically, like, you know, support groups in your city that you can find, a lot of great just like understanding your disease articles that I read. That was kind of my main resource. And then I tried not to get too deep into the Google hole.
Sure.
It gets a little scary on there sometimes because, as you will learn, I mean, our diseases, even if we both had ulcerative colitis, are so completely different, you know, one person to the next. Everyone has a different reaction. You know, Colby's been able to be in remission based on diet and lifestyle changes. And, you know, that wasn't the case for me. So I tried to take everything with a grain of salt and just learn as much as I could, but also know that that might be different for me and just be okay with that.
Yeah. Colby, what about you?
Well, I historically, if I go back and look at the history, my flare started at a very, very stressful moment at our agency. I was in a position where I was given I love the agency that I used to work for, but I was given one of those quote unquote growth opportunities that we're all familiar with, where I was asked to manage a trade show by myself. And it was a lot.
You don't manage trade shows by yourself?
I did.
Well,
bless your heart, man.
including media tours. And it was, so it was 2 months of lead up where I wasn't taking care of my body and I should have been listening to my body and I should have realized that the symptoms I was experiencing weren't normal. And I just kept using, you know, food and, you know, crutches and sugar and caffeine, just trying to kind of limp through. And then not taking care of myself when I was actually at the trade show, to the point where my symptoms were actually so bad, I blacked out on the trade show floor.
Wow.
Which was a great little moment. While I was waiting for a media representative to come by for a tour. But in hindsight, I think the biggest lesson I took away from that is the importance of listening to your body.
Yeah.
And I think that it's easy for us to kind of get our heads down, particularly in our profession, and think, oh, you know, that little chronic thing will just go away, or I just have to live with it, or I'll go to the doctor next week, or I don't want to talk to my, I don't want to risk taking, you know, half a day to go have a doctor's appointment because my manager is going to be upset. The impact and the potential ramifications of ignoring that kind of thing are huge and can be life-altering. Mm-hmm. And if you catch something early on, it's not guaranteed that it's going to get fixed, but delaying it isn't going to make it any better. And I know for a fact that if I had gotten myself checked sooner, my recovery would have been much easier. I actually wound up getting diagnosed. I had left my previous job and moved into a new job, and it was in that 2 week break in between jobs that I went and got diagnosed. So I was dealing with this new diagnosis and this new lifestyle and trying to understand what it means while starting a new job.
Right.
which is not ideal.
No. No, it's not. Mm-hmm. And for the record, more power to you for running your own trade show. I know many people seriously do it, and it's incredible talent.
To be fair, I wasn't like, there was a booth that was being run by other people, and I was the one that was managing the point media person. Side.
No, I know. I get it. So Tatiana mentioned a couple places that she turned to. Where did you turn to, if anywhere, when you were learning about Crohn's?
So I turned to the Crohn's and Colitis Foundation. I also went down the Google hole. It's a bad idea.
It's not good.
But I relied on building a team around me and being wanting a good gastroenterologist who can do, you know, all of the hardcore tests and all the numbers and all that, but also looking at, okay, a naturopath, mm-hmm. a fitness person who because fitness when you have Crohn's and UC is different. Like your body, when you're in a flare, your body starts attacking your muscle. Like, so you can lose, I lost almost all the muscle in my body through atrophy. Like I'd cough and throw my back out. It was delightful.
Oh my gosh.
But so working with people who can kind of help you put together the whole piece of your specific case, I think is really helpful. I think it's also helpful to look on social media because there's a lot of experts and really smart patient advocates that will connect and engage with you on Twitter and on Facebook and give you tips and advice, because it can feel really isolating mm-hmm. if you don't have a support group in person.
Yeah. You talk about support, and now I kind of want to get to the heart of the conversation, and that's really about how to talk to your colleagues about mm-hmm. your conditions. And I'd like for both of you to think about it in terms of both from a student, a new professional, but then also from a manager perspective and how you look through both lenses. Tatiana, I'll start with you. What might have you done differently, or if anything, or what advice would you have for new professionals who are going through a condition? And then if you're a manager and you hear something from somebody, what might you recommend? And Colby, I'll the same for you.
Yeah, so it's hard because I look back and I feel like, especially when I was first entering the workforce, and I was, you know, definitely diagnosed at that point, and I was at a point where, you know, my UC was very manageable. And in turn, that made me almost never talk about it because I was like, oh, I'm better now. It's fine. I don't, you know.
You kind of go through a denial phase, don't you, in the very beginning of like, oh, it's fine.
It's fine. Like, it's not that big of a deal. Like, I think that I talked about earlier, like, the fact that this disease is so invisible. I think I almost, like, leaned on that, or I was happy about that, because then that meant that I didn't have to talk about it. Sure. And, you know, what ended up happening was every 8 weeks I have to get these infusions, and my insurance at the time, I mean, that's a whole nother rabbit hole I can go down, insurance and sure. this medication. It's very expensive, but, the doctor that I was seeing would only do infusions on Tuesdays and Wednesdays, and the infusions take 2.5 to 3 hours.
Oh my goodness.
So I had to bring up the fact that every 8 weeks on a Tuesday or Wednesday, I would have to leave early, or I would have to come in late. Ideally leave early, because the result of getting the infusion, I'm really tired.
Sure.
It kind of takes a lot out of you to sit there for 2.5, 3 hours and get, you know, receive a drug. So,
And let's assume that there's no ability or expectation, crossing fingers this is true, that to be able to work while you're taking these infusions,
Oh, I definitely worked while doing this.
You did?
I mean, in the beginning, I think that goes back to, like, what I would have told myself is to, especially in the beginning when I was an intern or an account coordinator, like, I was in prove yourself mode, and mm-hmm. especially at an agency, like, I was thankful to be in an agency that wasn't super competitive in the beginning. In the beginning of my career, the agency that I was at was not super competitive, and so there was a little bit more flexibility. But as someone who is competitive with themselves.
Sure.
And, you know, has high expectations for themselves and feels like I need to perform very high and do well. I felt like I had to, you know, just because you're getting an infusion doesn't mean you can't work. Like, you need to work through that. So I would have, you know, if I could go back now, I would tell myself, like, your health comes first, no matter what. Like, the work can wait. At the end of the day, we're doing public relations. We're not doing brain surgery. Like, we're not, like, we're not doing surgery on people. Yeah. You know, it can wait. It absolutely can wait. Even if there's an emergency, there's someone else that can take the call.
Right.
So I think I really just would have told myself to speak up sooner and to advocate that at the end of the day, my health is the most important thing. Mm-hmm. And if someone's not going to support me, if a manager's not going to support me in that, that's not the place that I want to be. That's not the organization that I want to work for, because if my health isn't okay, I can't be a good employee. I just can't. Yep. So I would say for managers, like, if you have someone who has a health condition or something that, you know, is going on with them, like, try to just be as accommodating as possible and try, you know, whatever you can control, try to make it as easy for them as possible. Mm-hmm. Because there's already so many other stressors going on from their perspective of feeling embarrassed that they have to talk about it, or feeling bad that they have an appointment and, you know, they probably don't want to go to the appointment. So just remembering that, you know, they're going through a lot, and how can you help them make it a little bit easier for everyone involved?
Right. And from the manager's standpoint, helping the employee help the manager a bit, right? So you talk about eight weeks. So it's helping the manager, remind them when there's a week or two out, say, hey, I need to block out this time, kind of reprioritize things for, you know, another day or something like that. Because the manager has a lot going on too.
Absolutely.
And it's less about them being insensitive sometimes, but it's also they have so much going on, and it's how do you help?
And you really have to advocate for yourself, because at the end of the day, like, as a manager, you have, you know, so many people and so many things, especially at an agency. There's clients, there's projects, there's deadlines, there's people, there's all the things. And so I definitely don't expect, you know, managers to remember, you know, every 8 weeks I have an infusion. So, you know, in turn, as the employee or the patient, you really need to advocate for yourself and say, hey, and not feel bad about it and feel confident in the fact that, you know, this is something that you have to do for your health.
Yep.
And how can we make sure that, you know, my day looks different that day, or my week or whatever it may be.
Yeah. This is a big thing that I talk to students about all the time as they're entering the professional world, is about priorities. And understanding that their manager may only see a sliver, especially working in an agency and you're working in multiple clients, your direct manager might be only working on one or two of those clients. And so the student or the new professional needs to ensure that their manager has a full understanding of what their responsibilities are and what their deadlines are, and make sure that there's a good negotiation there, because sometimes a manager will give a deadline that might be arbitrary, right? Because they're trying to build in time to review things and have some back and forth and, you know, go up the chain or whatever.
Right.
And because of that, because they give an arbitrary deadline, the employee might think, oh my gosh, I have to hit this deadline or else I'm screwed. And they don't feel empowered to be able to go back. And so I think that applies throughout, no matter what.
Absolutely. I think speaking up, no matter if you have a health condition or not, as a new professional, like, do not feel bad about pushing back or saying, you know, I have all of these projects and I need help prioritizing. Yeah. I've tried to prioritize and here's what I think. Do you agree? Like, how does this feel? And not feel like you know, never be too afraid to go to your manager, because that's not good.
No.
That's not a good situation.
Completely agree. Coley, what do you think?
So I agree with everything that's been said. And my experience with kind of this question is actually triggered by two earlier instances that happened in my career. I had a manager while I was just out of college. I got a throat infection and had to go to the hospital. And I came back to him screaming at me because I was not a team player, because I went to the hospital.
Wow.
Are you kidding?
What's that?
Are you kidding me?
No, that
That's
happened.
Insane.
Yeah, nice guy. Then fast forward about 4 or 5 years, once I was in public relations, one of my managers, I was in a flare, didn't realize it. The doctor said, oh, it's just stress. And so I went to her and I said, I'm really dealing with some stress stuff. And she knew about the medical stuff. And I said, this is caused by stress. I'm trying to figure out some new ways to, you know, kind of manage my stress. So if I'm going to kind of juggle my workload a little bit, if you see something that's concerning, I need to just tell me. She didn't bring it to me. She brought it to HR and said she didn't think that I could hack it anymore in the field.
Wow.
So I immediately go into I'm going to prove myself mode, which caused me when I started my new job and, you know, was still trying to juggle this diagnosis and, you know, didn't want anyone to know, was trying to keep it a secret, was taking vacation days instead of sick days in order to go to the doctor, you know, anything I could to keep it on the down low. But what I've come to realize now and in reflection, I've also worked for some amazing managers.
Yeah.
And I know that if I went to them and said, here's what I'm dealing with,
yeah,
their response would be, oh my gosh, how can we help? How can we work this out?
Right.
So I think that the takeaway from a, you know, a junior staff person,
yeah,
is, yes, speak up for yourself, but also come with a plan. Come to your manager with, here's what's going on. Here's the situation. Here's how it's going to impact my work. Here's how I can make sure that the work doesn't suffer.
Yeah,
I may need to, you know, take my appointments until, you know, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning once, you know, every couple months. But on those days, I'm going to stay late, or I'm going to, you know, put in a couple of extra hours, or I'm going to make sure, yeah, I'm going to work ahead over the weekend to make sure that I'm caught up. Those little gestures can go a long way to making sure that the boss understands that you're trying to keep the workflow going.
Yeah.
And from a manager perspective, it can be frustrating when you're managing a large team and everybody's got something and you think, oh, what does this person have? Or is it, you know, is it really an issue? Is it not? I always come back to the philosophy that everyone is coming to work because they want to do a good job.
Right.
Everyone here is trying to do their best.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
and it behooves you and benefits you if your team is functioning at the top of their performance.
Yep.
So it benefits you to take that half an hour and sit down with your colleague and say, okay, what do we need to do? What resources are there with HR? How can we adjust your schedule? And then keep on it. If somebody's fallen off, if you make an agreement that they can, you know, take a half day every, you know, month for a test or something like that, and their productivity isn't living up to standard,
yeah,
then revisit that and say, okay, how can we, what do we need to adjust? Why isn't this working? As opposed to making it about, you know, a failure on the part of your director.
Right. You're both absolutely right. I'm making this a huge mission of mine to help educate managers. I'm going to say give them the opportunity. I'm going to spin this to death. But to treat new professionals as a professional.
Yes.
Get out of this prove to me your worth mode and switch it to, you know, prove that you're breaking the truth. You're breaking a trust mold,
right?
Right. So come in and treat them like they're professionals and respect them as such. And yes, everyone's going to have a different role and responsibility, but treat them like professionals and respect them as professionals. Mm-hmm. And I think you will earn their trust and, to both of your points, be able to engage in a dialogue that won't make them afraid,
mm-hmm,
to raise this with the manager and to be able to say, I'm not just coming with the problem, I'm coming with the solution. So it's both ways, right? So it's, mm-hmm, helping the manager,
yes,
understand you need to trust your employee, but it's the employee saying, don't just come with problems, say solutions. And mm-hmm, I think that's what you're both are highlighting.
Yeah, I think advocating for yourself just in general is so important. And with advocating for yourself comes, you know, you have done all the research, you've put together a plan from your perspective of what you think is going to work best,
mm-hmm,
and then presenting that to the person, whether that's your doctor or your manager, whoever that might be, and then working with them to adjust accordingly. Like, mm-hmm, it's so important because nobody is going to do that for you, and you have to be able to do that for, yeah, yourself.
And that's also, I think, a great learning for the young professional in terms of there's this perception that when you get out of college, you're begging for a job. You're just trying to find somebody to hire you, and you got, like you said, you've got to prove yourself.
Right.
Not really. I mean, yes, you need to prove yourself, but you're also looking for a company that's going to treat you right.
Yeah.
You want to work with people that are going to treat you right.
Yeah.
And if you have a diagnosed medical condition that requires ongoing treatment and your boss's response is negative towards that, that's a big red flag.
Absolutely.
That either this is not the team or the company for you.
Yep. I completely agree.
1,000%.
Mm-hmm. I completely agree. This has been a wonderful discussion. Has there been anything I've missed? Any other advice that you want to share?
I have one piece, and okay. It's in addition to, you know, I talked about, you know, that one of my recommendations is, you know, to build your team around you, and I think another step on that is having your support system, whether that's your immediate family, your parents, your close friends, your PRSA colleagues, having people around you who can be helpful and supportive, however that may be. For you, it could be someone that you go take a yoga class with on a regular basis. For me, it's my wife. She is an amazing chef. She has a mind for this kind of thing, yeah, and is constantly looking at ways that she can help support me, yeah, and help support our family in that respect. Having that in-person, you know, support system, I think, is incredibly valuable, yeah, regardless of what your diagnosis may, yep, be.
Absolutely. That's wonderful advice. Tatiana, I know as part of this process for you, you've thought about your future. And so would love to hear what's going on with your world and how much of your condition is a part of that journey.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think that this is a huge part of my life, living with a chronic illness and you know, an invisible disease has affected my life in so many ways. After I was diagnosed and went into remission, I actually gained a lot of weight. I became extremely unhealthy because I could actually eat food that didn't, right, make me feel sick.
Right.
So I, in turn, took on a lot of really unhealthy behaviors. I was a new professional. I was absolutely not exercising. I was, you know, going to happy hours. Sure. I was eating pizza, all of the things that, you know, got me in a really unhealthy spot, even though I was finally healthy in my disease.
Right.
And in turn, I looked at myself and I didn't love myself anymore.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happened?
Right.
So in turn from that, I really started looking at my exercise, my nutrition, really from a place of not loving the way that my body looked. But in turn, when I went down that path, I realized how much exercising and eating right and, exercising my mind, yeah, going to therapy, having support around you, all of those things actually changed my life for the better and made me feel so good on my day-to-day basis that I wanted to turn it into a career.
That's wonderful.
So yeah, I'm going to school to become a health coach. I'm starting a blog to talk about healthy living and in a way that is very achievable, mm-hmm, for people. That's not a diet, that's not, you know, a drastic lifestyle change, but how can you really implement things into your everyday life to just be a healthier version of yourself?
That's wonderful.
So I don't know exactly where it's going to take me, yeah, but I've realized that, you know, for a long time I was afraid that my disease would define me. And in turn, I've realized that it's a huge part of who I am,
yeah,
and I want to embrace that and help other people who are going through, yeah, the same thing or a similar thing.
Bravo. So, congratulations.
Thank you so much.
I'm really excited to see where you're going.
Thank
Colby,
you
have two health coaches now. I think we need, yeah, I think a career change might be, or a pivot.
Like, yeah, you gotta
complete the trio.
Yeah, you're the master of transitions, Mark.
I'm learning quickly about how to do this, huh?
You are.
I'm trying. I really thank you both for your time and your counsel and your wisdom. Where can followers find you, Tatiana?
So right now, my blog is getting started, but my Instagram is simply balanced with Tati.
Awesome. And so, what kind of things do you post on there?
Yeah. So right now, I mean, I obviously talk about ulcerative colitis, living with ulcerative, yeah, colitis, living with a chronic illness. I'm a recipe creator, so I love to create really simple but healthy recipes, alternatives to like comfort food or things that I really wanted to eat, but I made healthier.
There's a particular pasta. And I'll tell you, you say it and I'll respond. Yes.
Which one?
The bonza.
My God.
Well, I have two bonza. Is it bonza?
Bonza? I don't know.
Oh my gosh.
They're going to listen to this and they're going to be really
upset. Are you serious?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I have two boxes.
Oh my gosh, Mark, it's the best.
I eat at least two or three times a week.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Colby, have you had Banza?
Oh, many, many times.
Because it's gluten-free.
Yeah. I have no idea how to pronounce it. I just know it's the pasta that my wife makes.
So. Yes. It's one of my favorites. So, yes, I make recipes with that.
That's amazing. What else? What else do you... What's a recipe that you really...
Oh, my gosh. I'm really into... I'm trying right now to really get into desserts.
Yeah.
It's hard, though. Like, I'm trying to make... a lot of people with ulcerative colitis or Crohn's are into like paleo, gluten-free, grain-free, vegan. So things that are really accessible to people who have this disease, even though I'm not necessarily paleo or gluten-free.
Sure.
I do feel better when I eat that way. Yeah. So desserts, but all the things.
We all need good desserts, no matter what we're living with. Colby, where can people find you on the internet?
So they can find me. I'm on Twitter at Colby Reed, ColbyReade. And I do have a career development podcast that's focused on young professionals as well, called Coffee with Colby. We're currently on summer hiatus. We'll probably be on fall hiatus as well, but we'll be resuming new episodes at some point.
Well, I will tell you firsthand that following both of you and seeing and hearing your journey is very inspiring. It's what prompted me to bring you both on, talk to you, how you share your stories on Instagram, Colby, how much you've shared on social media and your podcast as well. I think it's incredible for students and young professionals, and you two are exact example of people in our industry that our industry and ourselves need to hear about. And that's why I brought you here, so we could have this discussion. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for doing this. This is going to be a really useful resource for a lot of people.
I think so. I think so.
I love it.
Thank you both.
Not just our episode, but the podcast. Well, no, in general.
Yeah, this will be the first of many, and I'm really excited for how we're taking this. Yeah.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
All right. Thank you so much for listening to this edition of Chasing the Sun. I am here for you, the communicator, marketer, or public relations professional who want to learn about how to incorporate health and wellness into your life, reduce stress, and grow in your career. Sign up for my free ebook, schedule a discovery call, reach me at chasingthesunpdx.com, email me at mark@chasingthesunpdx.com, or find me on Instagram or Twitter at markmo, M-A-R-K-M-O-H. Thanks so much. Have a wonderful day, and let's chase the sun.